Hello and welcome to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and the world beyond. I am your host, Norris Howard, joined by the illustrious crew out at UNLV, Daniel Agbuye, Jacob Brothers. What up, though?
How's it going?
The Sonic trailer's good.
It is very good, but I wish we had more time to talk about it, but we got to go into the biggest esports grand final there is. That's right, guys. The League of Legends World Finals went down over the weekend, and for as much as I wanted G2 Esports in the West to finally bring it home, we knew it was going to be difficult. They were going to go up against the champions of the LPL region, that's China, in FUN Plus Phoenix, and guys, it did not end well for the European champions. They got swept 3-0. It was depressing to watch.
I'm so surprised.
You know what? And the more we thought about it, you know, I actually kind of agree a little bit with Jacob's sentiment. Both Europe and China are League of Legends regions that are known for team fighting. They want to go in and be aggressive. And nobody does that better than the Chinese champions. So they went in and took the fight to G2. They completely wiped the map with them. They roamed very early in the game. And especially Tian, their jungler, FUN Plus Phoenix, was ahead on this from the word go. And unfortunately, they took the title. Unfortunately for me, because my bracket was destroyed. But they ended up taking the world championship title and became the first team since Taiwan Assassins in the second world championships ever to be a first-time world's qualifier that became a champion. So congratulations out to FUN Plus Phoenix out of China for that achievement. But we got to talk about something even bigger now.
This is even larger.
We got to talk about True Damage. We got to talk about that opening ceremony. Now, Jacob was so kind as to give us a fashion breakdown of True Damage. And now that we've seen them perform, now that we've seen them in motion, we know what the song is like. Jacob, what's your verdict on this?
First off, the song is good. I watched the animated video and the actual performance at Worlds. And that Qiyana skin, it's ridiculous.
It's really good.
She even had like gold on her tongue, okay? Like, I don't even know what they were doing with that skin, but it's only good things. And then they showed the Louis Vuitton skin. So, like, it's a really good video. But then even the performance itself, it was pretty cool.
Visually, it was just amazing to watch. Like, the effects with, you know, the guy, the echo part, just going in and out of the stage. It was just so fun.
Well, what caught my attention is the one, because I don't know any of the band members' names, but mm-hmm. the one that was singing during the stairs, mm-hmm. and then, like, he's, like, sideways on the stairs.
Yep.
You're like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense, but this is cool.
Yes. Most visually stunning, yeah.
No, it was. It was absolutely visually stunning, but I want to pose the question now to you guys, and I really hope we don't get sued when I say this, which is the League of Legends World's opening ceremony, is that like the Super Bowl halftime show?
You said the word.
Of, I know it's Voldemort, but is it like the halftime show of esports? Is that now like people are marking that on their calendars to, like, throw parties and come together, and there's people who don't even care about the game who just want to see that performance. Do you think we'll get there with the opening ceremony for Worlds?
I don't think we're there yet.
Really?
But,
why don't you say that?
Well, I mean, like, I don't think people are going to tune in just to watch the show. Like, everyone there is still going to be there to watch the League of Legends game. But, I mean, like, as far as esports shows, it's like we have that and we have Zed, okay? Mm. Like, there's not much competition when you got DJ Khaled and Zed for their mm-hmm. performance. And then you have super incredible animations going on mm-hmm. over people singing and five people doing things all at once with backup dancers. And
well,
it's different caliber.
That's why he mentioned this. Like, the reason why League's Worlds has become like the Super Bowl, I don't know why I said it, the Super Bowl of esports, is because they put so much production into this. Because I, you know, you said that no one's going to come in just to watch that. I came in knowing that the show is going to be something to watch. So for the casual audience, for the, like, the people who don't even know, they'll know that, like, oh, Worlds always has these amazing performances. I'm going to check that out at the very least.
Yeah, but I think since it's a video game thing and it's an eSport, it'll always be I'll watch it tomorrow on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are going to specifically tune in to watch a show.
Mm. Fair enough.
Well, I'll push back on that because we all know about the sort of collective experience that is social media. And we all know what it's like to be like the last person to know about a big thing that's happened. So you don't think that that plays into a factor of... Well, obviously not when it's at 6, 7 a.m. in the morning. But in 2021, it'll be in the United States.
Uh-oh.
So if you have something that's in the United States, you can't foresee people who may even have just a passing interest in video games who will want to check this out live and just share an experience.
I mean, like, I play League occasionally because I got to get my Narfix every now and again. And, like... I mean, I knew what it was, and I knew what was coming out, but mm-hmm. I watched it the day after, and I was like, oh, this is cool.
As a clear League expert here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. what I'm looking forward to, but I think the reason why is Riot now has shown that they will cater their performances to whatever city, because obviously 2 years ago we had KDA, which was in South Korea. We had True Damage in Paris. So I absolutely am so excited to see what they do for the United States.
If it's someone lame, I'm going to be so mad. It's like, here's Beyonce doing another show. I'll be like, oh, okay. Is she bringing out Jennifer Lopez, too?
Uh-oh.
First of all, shut up. If League of Legends get, Beyonce, the world will stop, okay? It will stop. It will cease to exist and phase into another plane of existence. But anyway, we got to move on for that because I can only... conceptualize that in some fever dream. But anyway, Jacob, we usually save this. Jacob Daniel, we usually save this a little bit for later. But tell us a little bit about the Overwatch Varsity Series and what's going on there.
Yeah, we do a little bit of restructuring here, so we're going to have to kind of move through this a little quickly. But playoffs are finally here.
Yes.
So it's pretty exciting. So the only match left is the finals, which we're going to get to. So it all happened this weekend.
It was really confusing to try to follow, though, I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah. So, because it was broken into two different towers, they called it, and there was four floors in each tower. And so where a team was placed on the floor is based off their seeding.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were a top seed, they were on the fourth floor, the final floor. If mm-hmm. they were the bottom seed, they're on the first floor. So lower seeding, harder, top seed, easier, which is normal for sports.
So what happened?
So what happened is, well, Rutgers kind of came out to play. So starting in floor one, Rutgers just swept Dallas, so it's goodbye Dallas. And then Northeastern beat Missouri 3-1, which I don't mean to brag, but on my little power ranking, that stuff lines up.
Yeah.
And then on floor two, Rutgers just went on to sweep Irvine. And I was like, oh, Rutgers is still here. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And then Harrisburg beat Northeastern 3-1. Also not too shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And then floor three, the tables just turned and Utah just sweeps Rutgers. Like, oh, well, Good thing you did a lot of sweeping to get nowhere. Well, no, you got the floor three, actually. So Rutgers did do a great job after getting back in through the plans. And then Harrisburg, as much as it breaks my heart, they beat my darling Winthrop 3-1.
They had a good run.
But Winthrop, you're beautiful, and I love you. You will do better next year. And then in floor four, we had Utah sweeping North Texas,
yeah,
which is a thing I did not see coming. I thought North Texas was just going to – they just had that whole conference just dead to rights, and then – here's Utah. Like, no, we actually want to play the video game. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then Maryville beat Harrisburg 3-2.
Notre Dame has fallen.
Yeah. So this was the only close game in the whole playoffs. And I'm not really surprised it's Maryville and Harrisburg. Those are two of the top teams in mm-hmm. Overwatch. So
our finals are set then.
Finals are set. And the finals will be Utah versus Maryville, which I think is going to be a very cool matchup. And they're probably going to actually advertise it, which would be really neat. Because the fact that I had to find a bracket through a fan Twitter, that's not a good sign.
Mm.
So as of right now, it's all just to be disclosed. There's nothing out on the match yet, but I'm assuming it'll be this weekend. I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, guys. And I'm going to just pull a shout-out out to Blizzard right now. Stop making this hard for us,
please.
Okay? Want to follow the Varsity Series. Give us the information. We need it. And, hey, listen, a lot of these kids deserve to be lauded. They deserve to have the spotlight, and they're putting a lot of work into this, and we want to see more support from the developers for these scenes and not just from one or two developers. So we're going to have more coming up. We're going to talk to a friend of the show. That's right. He's known by McChizu, but you're going to get to find out a little bit more about him and what he's going to be doing out at DreamHack Atlanta coming up next on Checkpoint XP on Campus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on Campus. Your host, Norris Howard, here. Just to let you know, if you are on a college campus and you would like to see your esports team or org featured on Checkpoint XP on Campus, you can slide over to our website, checkpointxp.com, and you can hit the On Campus tab where you can find all the information, including an ability to submit stories about anything going on at your school with esports. So again, that's checkpointxp.com. Now, we're going to talk to a friend of the show. His name is Adam McGuire Britson, but we often call him McChizu. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his history of casting and what he's going to be doing out at DreamHack Atlanta. Guys, take it away.
Adam, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, not a problem, man. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so let's get started off. So tell me a little bit about yourself, and how did you get involved with casting?
So I'm actually a radio personality by trade. I've been in broadcasting since I got out of high school in 2008. I've been at my same radio station for 10 years, and then one day I got a phone call from Boise State University. Said, "Hey, we know that you love video games. We know that you have got great ratings. Do you want to mesh the two together?" Little did they know, I was already kind of doing it in the background with some very subpar Twitch stuff, just kind of casting over games. And next thing you know, it's 5-6 years later, and here we are.
Subpar Twitch stuff, that's our, like, 4K.
Oh, yeah, that's all we know. Affiliation.
That's like the starting base for every wannabe caster or anything. You know, you got to at least pretend like you know what you're doing until you actually do.
Oh, of course. I mean, some people figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully I ever do. So why Rocket League out of all the games to cast over?
Honestly, I was thrown into it last minute. The Mountain West Esports Challenge was an event that happened maybe 2-3 years ago out at UNLV. It was Boise State versus the 8-Bit Esports in Overwatch, Rocket League, and League of Legends. Myself and my wife, who's also a caster, were picked up for that event, and they didn't have anyone for Rocket League, and I jumped in headfirst, so did she, and I found I was actually better at that than, you know, casting League, which was my original casting game.
And as I recall, I'm pretty sure it was 8-Bit who won that, right?
8-Bit won the event, but we buried them in Rocket League. So we got one.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, boy.
So talk to us a little bit about DreamHack Atlanta, and what are you looking forward to?
Honestly, this is the first ever, like, major event for me as far as, like, a situation like this, an organization that when they messaged me, I was like, oh, wow, that's, you know, that's a name that I know and recognize. So I'm just really looking forward to the atmosphere. I mean, DreamHack is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, LAN event that the nation has to offer. So, I mean, that alone is going to be awesome. And then to be on desk, to see this tournament in particular is going to be just crazy, cattywampus and over the top, because there's no way you can expect some of the outcomes that we've had so far. And I'm expecting to see that in the finals as well.
Really quick, what team should we be looking out for?
Well, I mean, you've got Mizzou and Aquinas in the finals. I personally am feeling that Mizzou is relatively, if not completely, unstoppable, going 10-0 in the regular season leading up to the knockout rounds, and then not dropping a single game in the best of series leading to the finals. That's a Goliath team if you put it on paper, and then watching them play, it's fast and just very, very precise. So Mizzou's my one to watch for. However, again, all of the teams have had some very crazy upset victories, like Aquinas, you know, taking out Shawnee. Shawnee took out the second seed Boise State in the earlier rounds of the knockout tournament, and that was super not expected. So very curious to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, Mizzou just had some success in the Overwatch Varsity Series too, which is pretty cool for that school. But
absolutely.
Yeah. Why do you think that DreamHack has moved more towards college esports?
I mean, it's the next big thing, man. I mean, if you're going to start with going towards the major events and crafting major esports talent, you have to start as early as possible. And I mean, I even work with high school esports clubs here in the area. And some of these kids are better than I would venture some of the college kids. I think that's why they are moving more towards that. It's the beginning and everything else follows it. So why not find the foundation, expand on it, and then, you know, that just leads to whatever else comes down the road.
And finally, Adam, what do you think the college space has to offer esports?
New opportunity, man. It's just like any other college course. It's got opportunity and a way to customize that opportunity to fit your needs. You can go get a communications degree, sure, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be in radio. You're not going to be in TV. Now you can end up on an esports broadcast scholarship for, you know, running production. That's what I do. I do commercials. I have audio commercials. There are these kids that are, you know, oh man, I really want to get into television, but I don't know how to do it. Next thing you know, they're running, you know, multi-thousand-dollar boards. And you can only get that kind of experience in college. And then you have the piece of paper that gets you into it further, assuming you enjoy what you were studying for all those years.
Very cool. Where can people find out more about DreamHack Atlanta?
I mean, definitely just head over to the DreamHack website. That's going to be the best place to go. And I mean, you can always just follow. I'm going to be tweeting a bunch about it. You can always follow me at Adam on the X and follow the action live.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Adam.
We really appreciate your time, man.
No, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks, guys, for that wonderful interview. And we also want to thank Adam for taking time out to talk to us. We love to have folks on the show and just proselytize about college esports. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back where we're going to be talking about some concerning health numbers that we're getting out of the world of esports. That and much more coming up next on Checkpoint XP on Campus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on Campus, your number one resource for college esports. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social medias. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. And there may be a TikTok in the future. I don't know. That's some Gen Z foolishness that I don't know about. But Daniel is going to lead us through some pretty concerning health numbers in terms of college esports that may require some programs to think a little bit differently about how they're treating their players. So, Daniel, what's going on with this?
All right. So at the New York Institute of Technology College of Osteopathic Medicine, they recently did a study on esports athletes. And specifically, the physical tolls esports actually has on them. Now, a lot of people might roll their eyes saying they're just playing video games, they're just sitting down. Well, here's the thing. There is some real risk here because 56% of esports athletes deal with eye fatigue, 42% report neck and back pain, 36% deal with wrist pain, 32% deal with hand pain, and yet only 2% of players actually seek out help for that. That is a very concerning number.
I mean, personally,
yeah, it
was that Norris?
No, yeah, it really is. But please, go ahead, Jacob.
I was going to say, these numbers just don't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, when your job is just to sit in front of a computer like that for 13 hours a day, doing much more than a simple office job when you're regularly hitting all the keys on your keyboard and regularly jerking your wrist around for dear life, like, it doesn't surprise me that these are the injuries that we're coming across.
I mean, yeah, you mentioned it. They are sitting in their chairs for, like, 13 hours a day, and 40% don't report little to no physical activity.
Yeah, a lot of people, they'll make jokes of, like, yeah, they're not actual athletes because they're not doing anything physical, which, I mean, is true. They're not running around and stuff like other athletes, but outside of, like, that extra physical aspect, it is kind of important that they're not doing other physical activity like walking around. Like, if you have a job that keeps you in your chair for that long, that's just going to impact you no matter what the job is.
I'd agree with that, which is why I think we have some esports programs that are employing things like physical therapists or physical trainers. There's, you know, health and wellness regimens. When you look at the pro scene, you're seeing, you know, these teams have full-blown physicians and dietitians and personal trainers that are keeping these kids, you know, in shape mentally and physically more than just their ability to play the game. Look at Double Lift from Team Liquid from the time he was, you know, at TSM to now. I mean, the kid done put up 40 pounds of muscle. He look like he could flex both of y'all right now. So the thing is that, you know, I really think that this is an important thing to highlight because a lot of college programs need to have health and physical wellness as a cornerstone of their esports program.
I mean, look at, for example, Hylam, one of the great League of Legends player, had to retire at 26 due to chronic wrist pain. That's tragic.
Yeah, a lot of problems with these injuries is that you have to kind of treat them as they happen. Like, you can't, like, after the fact, treat a wrist injury, like, fully, anyways. You'd have to be conscious enough to, like, while you're playing your games and your sport, like, hey, I need to do things that benefits my wrist, which is, like, the last thing you want to think about when you're in your early 20s.
Exactly. And, I mean, most of this stuff, this is people that work in the office. Who work in the office, like, for years, not kids in their early 20s playing video games.
Yeah, I think if they did things as simple as just, like, basic workouts that people would do, even if they didn't play games, just to maintain their shape. I think if players did that, even on just a very just basic level, they would probably prevent a lot of these numbers.
So, you know, shout out to programs like UCI for just having the know-it-all to just make sure these kids stay safe.
Yeah, that's for sure. But that's going to be it for that topic. We're going to have more coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus, where we are going to break down the brand new Sonic trailer. And I know Jacob is so excited about that. But before that, we're going to have managing editor Kevin Kelly join us as he joins the desk to break down what's going on in the Call of Duty League, because we got all the branding. We know what these teams are going to be called now. So make sure you stick around for that. More coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, the number one resource for collegiate esports. But we're bringing on managing editor Kevin Kelly. He's our ace in the hole on all things Call of Duty, and they're going to be breaking down all of the stuff going down in Call of Duty League, including what these teams are looking like right now for both branding and roster. So real quick, guys, what is the league shaping up to look like?
Well, first off, I wanted to talk about the teams that are most intriguing to me out of the gate. Starting off with OpTic Los Angeles. OpTic Gaming Los Angeles is going to be the new rebranded team. At the beginning when I wrote this, I was talking about, like, oh, we shouldn't sleep on this team. They should be, you know, reckoned with. And then you privy me to some statistics that said they are getting absolutely dominated in scrim. So that is concerning, to say the least, because this was a promising team. You had Kenny and Slasher joining the team, coming over from 100 Thieves. You have JCap returning after winning a world championship. And, you know, TJ Haley and Dashy are staying over from the previous season. It's a built-in successful roster, so knowing that they're doing so poorly in scrims is concerning, and you really hope they get it together soon. What do you think?
You know what else is concerning is their trash brand. Do you know how much of a loser and how anti-fun you have to be to not even, like, give your team a name? Like, all of these teams do all this branding and, like, try to be creative, and they're like, no, we're OpTic Los Angeles.
Immortals shelled out the big bucks for
that
name.
I don't care. And then it's like, well, they have their apparel, but it's just the same Optic apparel. So all it's right. like, you're not even going to get anything unique for liking this lame team. Gaming. No, they are gross. They're at the bottom of my power ranking.
Of course. Well, Yuck. Moving on, I'm also interested in the New York Subliners. I know you are about to light them on fire, but just give me this 1 second to talk about how Attach, obviously, is going to be the headliner of this team. He's the youngest player ever to win a COD championship at 18 years old back in 15 with Advanced Warfare. Story of this team, to me, though, is the inclusion of Doug Sensor Martin as a sub. He's been pining to get into this league. He was taking any opportunity possible, making YouTube videos, talking about it on the stream. He would not shut up about it. So now he's on this team, not as a starter, but as a rotational player. Gotta wonder if his like huge fan base and following are gonna be like, you know, creating a distraction for this team.
Brother, this team is called the New York Subliners.
Not good.
You could be called the LA Traffic. You could be called the Las Vegas Cones. That's all the same effect here. Do you know how bad of a name you have to... They have a whiteboard in their office of names, and they picked the Subliners. Their logo is disgusting. I don't even know what it is. I look at it, and I'm like, it's not even a subway. Like, I don't get it.
Looks like a fractured street.
It looks horrible. That's a great one. And, like, when they do, like, the NYSL on their clothes, it actually doesn't look half bad. Mm-hmm. But that's just one of their design choices. When it's like, here's just the plain fractured streetlight, you're like, why would I ever buy this?
New York sports and esports continue to struggle. But moving on, we're going to talk about my personal fan favorite team coming into this season, Chicago Huntsmen. It's the team I'm going to be throwing my support around behind. I think Skump is the greatest COD player to ever pick up a controller, and he's fully in his bag heading into Modern Warfare. He's reuniting with Formal again, one of the greatest to ever pick up a controller and play in COD and in Halo. They're highly, highly motivated, especially now, just because with the whole Optic split, all of the teams being, you know, scattered across, you know, this league now, they're doing really well too. Their numbers in scrims, they're winning matches like clockwork. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see, and I'm really excited to see them work.
And then I've consistently looked at the Huntsman's logo and merch, and the more I look at it, the more I don't hate it. I'd say that their logo is B tier and their merch is B tier. Not bad. It's fun, because they have the green and like dimmer
the
yellow color.
The color is kind of concerning.
No, I think it pops pretty well. Once you look at it, I think it works well with the hatchets and all that. And I personally don't like clothes where like the main point of the shirt is like the back design, which is what all their clothes are, save for one. But their overall design choices are not bad.
And rounding it out real quick, we're going to talk about Seattle. I know you love their branding. They have Enable and Octane, the other half of that 100 Thieves roster getting broken up. Karma, one of the greatest champs in COD history. That roster is looking stacked too. What do you think?
Their logo is incredible. It's a top three logo. You have a logo made out of just three shades of the same color. Okay? Mm-hmm. What a flex. They look so good. But what's trash is their merchandise. Mm. It is so ugly. They have two articles of clothing that you can buy, an $85 hoodie and a $140 jacket, all that which have a logo in the top corner, and that's it. Not even blue.
Crazy.
It's just black.
All right.
So horrible.
Finally, we have the Dallas Empire. Clayser and Crimsix are teaming up to head up this Dallas Empire team to fill that kind of like old Optic skeleton role now. And those two guys obviously are going to be carrying this team. I'm not too sure if they're going to be able to gel together in the new Modern Warfare game, but they're definitely something you got to look out for.
And their merch is clean and crisp.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little unique. They have a lot of weird fonts on the sleeves and stuff on the back, but it's all effective, and all their stuff is sold out. And I think out of the merch, they have one of the more solid, crisp, clean designs that aren't just football-like.
And that's all we got, Norris. What do you think?
Well, I think it looks good. I, too, am a big fan of Seattle, but I'm also a big fan of what they're doing in Minnesota with the Rooker. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to them as well. But if you guys want the breakdown of all of these teams, you can slide over to checkpointxp.com at the on-campus section where they'll be fleshing this out a little bit more. But coming up, we're going to be talking the Sonic trailer. So stick around for more Checkpoint XP on campus.
Available. Hopefully we can see a fat shatter from Sultan, something we haven't seen in quite a while.
Oh, there it is! The fat shatter is going to allow Sulpan to just go right through Wyoming, taking them out one at a time. Oh, what a great nostalgia trip. We haven't seen that in so long. Welcome back, Sulpan.
He actually got booped to the side for the flank shatter. Otherwise, it was going to meet the forward progression of a fortified Orisa, and that's not going to work for you. And we do see here a little bit of swap coming out. They want to go for it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on Campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. And I'm going to throw it right back to the desk because I know Jacob is chomping at the bit to talk about the new Sonic trailer for the movie coming out. Jacob, how you feeling, man?
The Sonic movie is here. They gave me a minute. I'm going to use my minute, okay?
Okay.
He looks good. Uh-huh. He is not bad. When he speaks, it is not cringy. There are jokes that are funny. There's some lore stuff that's not correct. His fur is not lightning. He does not have special powers in his fur. But that is okay. Jim Carrey, he's not that great. He's kind of funny sometimes. But the combat is wicked. You saw, like, 5 seconds of Green Hill Zone. Exhilarating. He didn't say, meow. He looks so good. I'm so excited. Do you even have any thoughts on it?
Well, I just thought that it was
five, four. What thoughts do you have?
I thought it was a really good trailer. Okay, please help me.
This movie went
All right. Just stop, okay? Just whatever. You guys just can't even talk about
Sonic
this properly.
Sonic fans, get excited.
I just want to thank... Yes, I just want to thank everybody out at the UNLV studios, including these two knuckleheads, Daniel Agbuya and Jacob Brothers. I know they're excited, but we also got to thank everybody out working on the studio behind the scenes. We want to thank all of the UNLV faculty that help out with all of the show. And last but not least, we want to thank all the folks that help out here in the Detroit studios as well. Make sure you stick around next week. We implore and demand that you return for more Checkpoint XP on Campus.
Sonic Movie 2020.
Gotta go fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.